That you share with me the long or strong desire that we may soon be able to get back together and assemble as one body and encourage one another by our presence as well as our worship. I don't know about you, but I miss the fellowship because I miss my hugs. So it's good to hear you this morning, know that you're here. Even though we're in troubled times, may I say to you, this is a wonderful, great blessing that we have. We're still able to worship our God. We're still able to worship in spirit and truth. And we may do it together, even though we're not touching each other or assembled together. So welcome this morning and take every opportunity that you can, if you will, to take advantage of this wonderful medium and watch our services at 9 on Sunday morning, 6 at night on Sunday, and 7 o'clock Wednesday night. This morning you heard from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. I want now to look at verse 19 of that particular chapter. And hear with you these words. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into the presence behind the veil. When you think about the idea of hope, here the writer of Hebrews says it is an anchor to the soul. It strengthens us, helps us, and enables us to be more faithful. You've heard the verses just read in your hearing for verses 13 to 18. And what the writer of Hebrews is doing is looking back to a time when God dealt with Abraham. And he used it to strengthen those things that happened, persecuted Christians. The people to whom this letter was addressed were Jews by race, worshipers under the Old Testament law of Moses by birth. But many of them had come out of Judaism, obeyed the gospel, and become Christians. Yet they were facing opposition and problems and difficulties and struggles on every hand, trying to cause them to give up their Christianity and go back into Judaism and worship according to the religion of their fathers. The writer of Hebrews is writing these words in this letter to encourage them, to help them to understand these things are a blessing in disguise, really. The idea, basically, of Hebrews 6, 13 to 18 has its roots in Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, you will remember the inspired account that God said to Abraham, go offer your son in the land of Moriah at a place I'll show you. Abraham got up, took everything that he needed, and left. They traveled for 3 days, and when they got there, he said to Abraham, to the servants, you stay here. The boy and I are going to worship on the mountain, and we will return. Abraham and Isaac go up on that mountain. Abraham builds that altar, lays the wood on it, binds Isaac, and takes the knife in his hand ready to slay his son. When the angel speaks out of heaven, as God gives the message and says, stop, Abraham. He called Abraham a second time out of heaven, verse 15 of 22, and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you've done this thing. And have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants. Think about what is said here. The Hebrew writer says, listen, God confirmed what he promised by two immutable things in verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 6. The word immutable basically means unchanging. It means firm. It means absolute. It means it cannot be altered. The Hebrew writer is saying this to these people that are going to receive this letter. Listen, folks, if God promised and gave an oath, you can rest secure in what he says. You can trust him because he is faithful. He will perform what he says, and you need to be encouraged to remain faithful. You need to be encouraged to hold on to the end of your hope. And so the Hebrew writer says in basically here, folks, you can be encouraged. You can be strengthened. You can be uplifted. In that day and age, that was true. But those words were recorded for us. In our day and age, we face troubles on every hand. It's not just this virus thing. We've had cancers and difficulties and problems down through the ages. And that's not going to change because of the world we live in. But the Hebrew writer is saying, as we look at this passage, listen, God is faithful. You can trust him. He means what he says and says what he means. It will be accomplished just as he says that it will. So let's think this morning about some things. And I love this passage from Hebrews, from the Psalm, 91st Psalm. It is a psalm in which the one who trusts in the Lord is blessed. And I like this words. Listen to it. God's not the speaker. The psalmist has written these words, but God is the speaker. Because he has set his hope upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He said he shall call upon the Lord and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will bring that up, blessing him and show him my salvation. Isn't that beautiful? Aren't those words beautiful? Don't they mean something to us? So let's begin this morning by thinking about the idea of what is Christian hope, the nature. Hope is an object that always looks forward for future good. We never look backward. What has passed, we can't hope for. That's not going to change. What we're living in today, we can only change a little bit of it, not much. And so we look at today, and if things are difficult, we hope things are going to get better. If things are good, we hope they're going to get even better still and better than they are. Hope looks to the future for change. There's one thing that I read the other day that's true. The only thing of our world that's constant is change. The only thing in our world that's unchanging is change. Things are going to be different in time. Things will change and things will be better. Well, Paul now talks about the idea in the book of Romans, this idea of looking back or looking forward. He says, for we were saved in this hope. But hope that's seen is not hope. For why does one hope for what he sees? But now listen to this. But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it eagerly with perseverance. We wait for it eagerly with perseverance. When you think about the idea that's involved here, Christian hope then is for God's favor and salvation. No matter what happens around us, we have a home in heaven prepared for us. Our Savior has died to prepare a place in a way and gone to heaven to finish that preparation. And so as we think about it, this is the main thing that we hope for. But in addition to that, we want to hope for God's care, for his watch care, for his protection, for his watching over us in this life as well. And we can rest assured in that. Our God loves us and our God will not abandon us. So a faithful Christian then is never without hope. A faithful Christian is never without hope. We never face any part of this world alone, anything that happens. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. I'd like to share with you a few lyrics from a song in our book, and they're not necessarily in the order in which they're written, but I want to share them with you. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what's ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Those are promising words, beautiful words. And they say to us, we have hope. No matter what the circumstances, no matter how difficult the life, we have hope because one day all this will be left behind and we'll not have to struggle with it. But it will change. Things will change. But in addition to this, Christian hope must be attainable. There must be some reasonable expectation and anticipation of receiving that for which we hope, or else it's just wishful thinking. For instance, if I say to you, Monday morning when our mailman comes by our house, and I hope that he leaves a $1 million check in my mailbox, is that reasonable? Have any reason to anticipate? Absolutely not. So Christian hope must be attainable. But notice that we have that attainment in Christ Jesus. It may basically encounter difficulties, our hope. But it remains faithful till the end because our hope is based on faith and our faith is based on Christ. This hope does not rest in men or the things of the world or the things that men can do for us. It rests upon the one perfect foundation of Jesus Christ. Our hope has a permanent foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay, which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Which is Christ Jesus. Our hope rests firmly in Him. Hope based on Jesus Christ can never fail. Hope based on Jesus Christ can never die. I know Paul says in the latter part of 1 Corinthians 13, now about it, faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. But hope will become reality for us one day. But in the meantime, we need to hang on to our hope. Notice it is said that hope is the anchor of the soul. A seafaring or nautical term. An anchor represents stability. When an anchor is properly deployed in the waters, it will hold that ship to which it is attached safely. It will not move. It will not drift off. It will not be destroyed. That anchor will hold it. And folks, our hope, with great anticipation, keeps us firmly fixed on our eyes, firmly fixed on Jesus Christ. No matter what happens around me, no matter what happens in this world, I know there's a better land awaiting. And I also understand that in this life, I'm not alone. I don't face all these problems by myself. Someone loves me and cares for me, and that's my Savior. An anchor, then, is essential to the security in the storm for the vessel to remain firm. When you think about it, these storms will come. The idea of storm will come, and it'll bring peril. It'll bring difficulty. It'll bring hardship. We're all going to face storms. Why? Because we live in an imperfect world, a world of sin. And so as long as that world basically is filled with sin, we're going to face these storms. Hope leads the soul basically to have confidence. Faith and a good conscience will be the means of trusting God. It will be that which maintains us with God. See, hope is based on faith. Faith is based on Christ or God or the Scriptures. So we can always have hope because God loves us and cares for us. True hope, then, depends on a very vigorous faith. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice that word, substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word means to undergird. Substance, to undergird or support, give assurance, make sure that it remains firm where it is. The evidence of things not seen, proof. The proof that what God said will come to pass because we believe it and we understand that God said it and we can believe it and we can trust it. So when you think about it, then hope, the record says in this passage, is an anchor of the soul that anchors us and holds us where we need to be. But the anchor only works successfully when it's connected to a strong cable. If you have a great big anchor and it's properly deployed, you have a great big ship, but between that anchor and that ship is a very small cable. When the storms come, the cable will break, and the ship will be lost, and the anchor left behind. When you think about the idea that's involved, the cable must be attached to a strong support. There must be a strong cable to hold it. The Christian's basically cable is faith. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, John says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Our faith. Faith enables us to remain firm no matter what the circumstances in life, no matter how difficult the situation gets or how good it gets for that matter. We know. We're convinced. You can't change our mind that God has a better land awaiting and all things will work together for good. Let us hold fast, Hebrews 10:23. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? Why, Hebrew writer, do we hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering? For he who promised is faithful. He who promised is faithful. So true hope, then, depends upon a vigorous faith, a firm foundation, an unshaken faith that says, no matter what happens, I'm going to trust God. No matter what happens, I'm going to walk with Him. No matter what the world brings, I'm going to stand firm in my belief, in my faith, and my trust in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:1, of course, is that same passage which we talked about a few moments ago, the idea of assurance. Now let's talk, as we've talked about some things about hope, let's talk about the importance of hope. How important is hope? How important is it to you? How important is it to me? Well, psychiatrists tell us that for a person who lives in our world today without hope, suicide and depression and all those things that go along with it are the natural result. From a spiritual standpoint, those who are without hope are lost. Those who are without hope are lost. And if something doesn't happen or change, they will be lost for all of eternity. My friend, if you're listening to me this morning and you're out of Christ, you need to understand that you're separated from God. Ephesians 2:12 says, when they were without Christ, they had no hope in this world and were without God. Can you imagine what it would be like to be separated from God forever? So, it is essential hope to the Christian walk. It enables us to have our faith and remain firm and trust the Lord that things will improve. They will get better one way or the other. And so when we think about it, the idea of hope for your life and mine is as important, it is as indispensable as an anchor on a ship for a ship. Peter puts it this way, we're begotten again unto a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us, given us new birth, again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So when you think about it, then this hope basically is based on eternal glory. In 1 Corinthians 15, which we call the resurrection chapter, Paul in verse 19 makes this observation. If in this life only we have hope in Jesus Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. We have to have hope. It's an essential part of our makeup. And we have it in Christ. God has the power over every trouble. God has the power over every trouble. If circumstances don't worry him, why should they worry us? If circumstances don't worry him, why should they worry us? God knows what we need. He cares for what we need. So when you think about it, then we may not be able to change the circumstances. There's so many things in life we can't change. But we can respond or choose how we respond to those things. And we can be faithful to God and believe in God and let him be with us and see us through it always. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? What can this world do to me? I'm in the hands of the Lord. He'll take care of me one way or the other. And so when we think about it, then the idea here is of something that we need to recognize. Keeping our eyes on Jesus leads to peace. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. You remember when the storm was raging and Jesus was in the back of the boat asleep, and they came and they woke him up and said, Master, don't you know we're perishing? And he got up and said, peace, be still. And the storm ceased and the waters became calm. Keeping our eyes on Jesus leads to peace. And when you think about it then, are we looking at the problem, or are we looking at the one who can control it? We hear so much negativity, and if we aren't careful, we tend to be caught up in all this negativity. But folks, you and I are different than the people of the world. We have a hope they don't have. We have anticipation they don't have. We have a home that they don't have. And God is going to see us through it, and whatever happens, somebody says, well, I might lose my life. We're going to die anyway. But if we do, listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, made without hands, eternal in the heavens. We have a place and a body waiting for us. So when we look at it then, Christ knows every outcome God does in Christ. Let's think about this for a minute, too. Jesus is always with us in every trouble. When you think about it, didn't he make this observation in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He doesn't change. Our Lord is with us. He cares for us. Didn't he say, though, in Matthew 6, 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life nor about your body. Don't worry about all those things because they're going to pass. One day all this will be behind us. We'll look back on it and we'll thank God that we remained faithful, that our hope saw us through to the end. Hope then calls us to basically be by faith and not by sight to walk. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. And when you think about what's involved, hope anticipates future rewards and bliss. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves on the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. You and I face a choice, folks. You and I face a choice. It brings us to the knowledge and the understanding that this life is not all there's going to be. This life is not all there is. So I ask you how you're living your life today. Can you say with the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. Do we believe that? Can we say that? I ask you this morning, think about your soul condition. Where are you in relationship to God? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, you who once afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We serve a God who loves us. We have a Savior who died for us. We have a home in heaven awaiting us. And so I ask you this morning, are you in Christ or are you out of Christ? If you're out of Christ this morning, please don't remain that way. In just a moment or two, there's going to be a number on your screen, a telephone number. If you'd like to obey the gospel or you'd like to study the Bible more, if you contact that number by text or by calling, we'll try to meet you if you're here at the church building, and we'll try to talk to you about what you need to know, and we'll help you to become a Christian. That's what you need. But it may be that you're a member of the Lord's church and you're struggling in your faith and the hope that is basically growing weaker in your life. If that's a circumstance with you, then we beg you this morning to call this number. We can pray with you.